Okay, we just read the first line of Tezayin Beis, and the first line, the first line of Tezayin Beis said that why do we blow shofar at Shachris and then again at Moser? Right, Tzkiyas Miyushav and Tzkiyas Umad. Kidei La'arbi Vasatan, right? Very famously, Kidei La'arbi Vasatan, which means Rashi says that it means Shelo Yastin Kish Yishma Yisrael Mechavin Sam Mitzvos Mistamin Devarav. Yeah, second line.
You don't like that page.
This is where we're up to. That's it. So it's so he's overwhelmed by the chuyos of the Jewish people. Okay, so that's what we read last. Let's continue. Second line, Tes Zayin Amabez. V'amr B'Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak said, he added, Kol Shana She'ein Token La B'Tchila Maria La B'Sofa. He says, anytime you don't blow shofar at the beginning of a year, Maria La B'Sofa, you're going to wail about it at the end of the year. You're going to really regret having not blown shofar at the beginning of the year. Why not? My time, Delo Yarbiv Satan, because you didn't get to overwhelm or confuse, depending on your translation, the Satan. So he was there the whole year. If you didn't get him on Rosh Hashanah, so then he's going to be with you for the rest of the year, and that's not going to be good. So what does it mean that you didn't, why didn't you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? How could, yeah, right up here. How could it be that somebody didn't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? What do you say it means?
Very easy. Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbos.
Oh, so does this mean that if Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, you're going to have a very bad year? Is that true? Is that fair?
But there are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah.
There are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. The first
later,
day.
Later.
So
how
let's,
much later?
So
when was it instituted?
So we saw this earlier. Oh, no, we didn't see this. This is Gemara in Beitza. So the Gemara says that 2 days of Rosh Hashanah were really always kept, because unless you were in the Beis HaMikdash, at the Sanhedrin, you didn't know when Rosh Hashanah was. Like, you didn't know if the Edom came at 4 o'clock, or 8 o'clock, or 6 o'clock. You have no idea. So if the Edom didn't make it in time for the first day of Rosh Hashanah, so you always had a second day of Rosh Hashanah. So if you weren't in the Beis HaMikdash, you didn't know, and they always kept 2 days. That's what the Gemara says.
There's a Mishnah.
In Beitza,
a little bit later, that talks about Rabbi Gamliel. I believe
you're talking about the Masos.
Yeah,
right. So
no, I'm not talking about Masos at all. I'm talking about Rabbi Gamliel had a.
You're talking about the when he got into an argument with Gamliel, Rabbi Shmuel.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's related to this. I don't remember what the Masos was about.
He knew exactly when Rosh Chodesh was going to be. Okay, he had mathematical calculations when Rosh Chodesh was going to be. He really didn't need the Edom.
Okay, but again, this is the point is that they were Mekadesh al pi ra'iyah, right? Because that is the better way of being Mekadesh. We're Mekadesh al pi cheshbon b'di'eved, but the real Kiddush HaChodesh is al pi ra'iyah, and therefore, when you Mekadesh al pi ra'iyah, if you're not in the Beis HaMikdash, there's no way to know when Rosh Hashanah is. So therefore, outside the Beis HaMikdash, outside Yerushalayim, they always kept 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, even at the best of times. That's always how it had to be. As opposed to the other Yom Tovim, which were later, they didn't coincide with Rosh Hashanah. Either way, let's get back to our question. Our question was, the Mishnah Gemara says that if you don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, you're going to have a bad year because you were Ma'arav HaSatan. So he said, why didn't you blow shofar? So we had the suggestion, maybe it means that it's because the first day of Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. And we know that you don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. You don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah if it falls out on Shabbos. So maybe that's what it means. But what's the problem with that interpretation?
Two problems.
Let's say the first one.
When they did blow shofar on Shabbos.
What's that? So first of all, they did blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. They did blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah for Fellas and Shabbos where?
In the Beis
in different places, right? Okay, that's one point. Give me another point. That's a good point. Let's hear another one.
Wait a minute, one good point is not enough.
No? It's just not fair. How could it be? What's the Gemara saying? if Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos, so we made a takana that you can't blow shofar, and we're going to get you for that. Right? The Gemara is saying like it's like you're almost getting punished. Your consequence of not blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah is that you're not going to be here. Like that just it can't be because
it could be the other one is the Mishnah says it's not the way it happened, but the Edim came late enough. So they were Mekadesh the Chodesh, but it was too late to blow shofar.
Well, they would have blown shofar already. You don't have to blow shofar after Kirush Chodesh. You can blow shofar before Kirush Chodesh.
But they were Mekadesh the Chodesh, so the Edim came too late.
But the Gemara talks about that's a Gemara Beitza. That's about the Kilkel of the Bein Bashir. But they would do all the. They would do all the mitzvos already during the day because if the Edom come at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's too late to do a lot of the mitzvos.
Right.
So they made Kiddush Rei the night before. All these things that they did the misafik. The Gemara just said they got stuck on the musaf. What are you going to do about the musaf? All those other issues. Here's the issue. It's just right. How can it be that you're going to miss out on shofar? Let's see Tosos. Tosos asked this question. He doesn't say it explicitly. See the third Tosos. Ein token b'tchilasa mefarsh b'alachos gedolos. So this is the Bahad. What does the Bahad say? Lav de mikla b'shapsa. It's not that it fell out on Shabbos. Rather, ella this el unsa. There was a hullabaloo. They weren't able to do it. So. What the Bahag is doing, he's doing something in between. He's saying, it can't be saying that you did it b'isser, because if you did b'isser, you were bigger problem than Satan, like you didn't have Eira. That's a bigger issue. And it can't be that it was on Shabbos, because that's b'heter. It has to be something like in between, that like you didn't, that was not the right way to do it, but not that you didn't mamish b'isser. So that's what he says. He's yelling, what's that?
So. Okay. So what type of asan would it be? You mean as far as
I think what he means is
prevent them from doing it or something.
I think he means community by community. He doesn't mean that like none of the Jewish people. Sam, you got it?
No.
Tezayim Beis, but the third Tosfos.
No, you're not on.
You gotta go to first.
Keep going. First keep going. Pages, keep right? going. Keep going. Keep going. Turn more. There you go. Third toaster. So he's saying that the
little one,
right? He's trying to find a middle case where there's an onus, but I don't think he means. He means like the entire Jewish people in no way blew shofar. It means like in this city they didn't blow shofar because their shofar. They weren't careful, and it fell, and it broke, and like that's why they didn't blow shofar. They don't have any other shofar. That's like an onus. And then, Yitaka fell behind because the Satan is not going to be overwhelmed and confused. That's what I think Tosus is saying. So that also answers David your question. You said that right, that you can blow shofar on Shabbos, right? The same thing. So.
Daddy.
Right, but you see that it's community by community, not child. Yeah, Abby, you know what? Yeah, you gotta.
This is not recording.
It is. Do you have a question you want to ask?
Yeah.
Okay, Abby has a question. That's enough.
What are they doing outside?
Oh, I don't know. We can go check it out together later, but you can't go now because it's not safe. I think they're building a classroom downstairs.
Wait.
Okay.
No, like why like the coat room cover?
Right, they're turning the coat room into a classroom. That's what's going on.
No windows.
We're turning the coat room into a classroom.
That classic coat room, the one that was, you have no idea how much that was envied.
Yeah, well, you can't compete with the
classroom.
What
happens in the winter time when people have coats?
It's still going to be used as a coat room. It's just not as big.
That was the biggest. That was the biggest.
It was
coat,
like
the biggest coat room.
It was like the Taj Mahal coat room.
In the wrong place.
In the wrong place. So it's being converted into a classroom, an office, and a coat room.
Wow.
So coat room is first.
First coat room, then office, then classroom.
This was the world class.
So they had to walk all the way to the back.
They had the world class coat room.
It was a coat room. Everything was a coat room. There's a coat room and then like a storage closet.
Why was there a blue doors?
That was the storage room. There was blue so people couldn't see that there was storage behind because it wasn't so pretty. There was a lot of storage back there. So we got rid of all the stuff that was there so we can turn it into a classroom. Okay? Let's learn more. Okay? Let's see. Okay, so we said that if you don't blow show for the beginning of the year, so then you're going to have a tough time at the end of the year. So let's do the next part. Amr Bitzchak, okay? This is the fourth line. Kol Shana Sharasha Bitzchila says the opposite. Any year that Rush over here is not like Russia doesn't mean like an evil person. It means Russia that it's impoverished. Okay, let's put it here. Kol Shana Sharasha Russia Bitzchila, so any year is impoverished at the beginning. Miss Asharos. This sofa.
No, you could use mine.
I know, you're on the wrong page.
Okay?
Okay, quiet. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm going to be so close. Miss Asheris Bisofa. Any year which is poor, impoverished at the beginning, is will be wealthy at the end. Shanemar. May Rashis Hashana. What does it mean, right? The pastor says, Rashis Hashana ad Achrishana. What is, don't read it miracious from the beginning. Read it miracious because it's spelled chaser. Miracious ksiv. It's pronounced miracious, but it's written miracious. So if you're impoverished at the beginning, but achris sofa sheyeshla achris means it will last for eternity. Something that will last afterwards. So if you, what does this mean? What does it mean to be impoverished and wealthy? What does this mean? So Rashi says, second line in Rashi, Sherasha b'tchilasa, sheyisrael osin atzman rushin b'rosh hashana the dvar tachanunim utfila, that they make them say they feel poor because you know why? Because we really are, right? Heni heni mimas, right? That's what we say right before. Right before Moshev, I am impoverished indeed. I'm unworthy to come to Hashem. And if you really act that when you're davening and when you're doing tshuva, so then your year will be a good year, a year that lasts, a year that leads towards destiny. Let's continue. Rami Yitzchak. This is the third statement of Rami Yitzchak. Rami Yitzchak. In Danes Adam, Elfi Masav Shalosav Shah. He says people are judged as they are. Very famous. Shenemar. As the pasuk says, and we read this on Rosh Hashanah, Kisham Elokim El Kol Anar by Sheru Sham, that God heard the voice of the child. What child?
Yishmael.
Thank you. As he was, he came as is. Now, what does that mean? Even
was.
Though
then, you know he's
at the time,
evil,
right. In the Chumash, right, we know Yishmael in the future is going to be evil, but even more so, we're really talking about. The Medrash is talking about Yishmael's descendants, what they're going to do, the Jewish people, after Churban Bayis Rishon. But even so, he was worthy, Bashir Husham at the time, and God saved his life. And not only did he save his life, he saved his life with a miracle, right? The Malach came and showed his mother where the water was. V'Amar B'Yitzchak, statement number four. Gimel Dvar Mazkirin Avonosav Shal Adam. There are three things that if you do them, Hashem will reconsider your averos for the bad, not for the good. What does that mean? Let's see the examples and then we'll go backwards from there. Eluhain, these are those three things. Kir Natoy. Do you know what a kir is? What's a kir in your classroom? I like kir.
Chalk.
What's a kir? Do you know? There's the ritzpah and the kir. What's a kir?
What's a
ritzpah? Ritzpah is a floor. What's a kir? Do you remember?
A wall.
A wall. Very good. Very good. The kir is natoy. If you have a wall that's leaning, so what's the problem?
It's
if you have a wall,
floor.
Ritzpah is a floor. So if you have a wall that's leaning, that means that it's already starting to fall down. Do you think you have a wall that's already starting to fall down? You should walk next to that wall.
Yeah.
Oh, answer is no. So you shouldn't walk near that wall because it could fall on you. If you walk near that wall anyway, so then Mazkir Avonosav Shel Adam. Then Hashem is going to think closely about your averos. The Ion Tefila. Ion Tefila. So Ion Tefila is a phrase that appears a couple of times in Shas every once in a while. It's a very complicated phrase because if you look, clearly over here in this context, is it Ian's feel good or bad? In this context, is it good or bad?
It must be bad,
right? Because you're getting punished for it, right? Where do we know that Ian's feel is used in a good context?
Every morning?
Every morning we say it, right? Eilid Varim. Karen Kayem is all about the Eilid. Keep it aim. We also keep it aim, but forget it. Keep it aim. We also summon Shkamish for Smith Shabbat. Shabbat, sorry, so close to you. Yeah, I'm saying something bad. So that means that this Ian field that we say in davening is you get rewarded both in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba. So it's a contradiction. We'll talk about that in a second. But clearly over here it's bad. And what's the third of the examples? Umoser din al chaveiro, and you call out. Din, judgment, on somebody else. Let's see what these mean. Okay, let's look at the Rashis.
What do they mean?
Let's look in the Rashis and we'll find out. Kir Natoi.
Rashi, what does it mean?
Kir Natoi. What is it? So you see the Rashi? It's halfway down to the Rashis. We have it? Sam, we got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Kir Natoi, a leaning wall. The over Tachtav, and even so you walk under it. Masra Vonosav Sha'omer. It's you're saying when you walk there, Klum Raiza Le Asos Lo Nes Mitokach Hu Nivdak. He said, I walk there. I say I am worthy of walking by this wall because, like, I could do anything. I could walk on water, right? If you try that, so you're challenging Hashem, like, I'm worthy. So there's this great far side. Yeah, everyone knows the far side. Either way, so it's a cartoon. It was a single panel cartoon from like the 80s and the 90s. And so there's a... No?
We're not...
right. So there's a there's a picture of Hashem at a computer. Okay? So you know like this is the 90s. So like this gigantic computer with a keyboard. And on the monitor is somebody walking under a piano. So the piano is being held up by a rope. The rope is frayed. And somebody's walking under the piano, like, whistling to themselves. And Hashem is standing there, sitting at the computer, and there's a button that says smite. And Hashem is choosing whether or not to press smite.
I want to press
right?
smite.
That's what Gemara is saying.
If do you want to press smite?
If you're walking...
They smite in your face? Why? They smite.
If you're walking under a piano, or an argamar by a wall that's about to fall... So you're asking Hashem, bring it on. And Hashem, you know what? He's going to choose. Should I press smite or not? And he's gonna check your avonos. Yes.
Close question. I gotta do it.
Gotta do it?
Okay.
Press smite.
Remember the famous Gemara in Bava?
Press smite.
The Tanra Shachachin
Noi. Press smite yes. for me.
Okay. That Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yisrael are arguing, right?
Press smite.
And...
But
all those guys in that Beis HaMedrash walked on the walls that were...
Right, but we don't know that, because that story actually doesn't take place, if I remember correctly, in the Beis HaMedrash. If I remember correctly, it's outside the Beis Medrash because they're standing by a stream and there's a tree.
Remember? Yeah, the tree and its stream flows.
It sounds from the story that it's actually outside. They were near the Beis Medrash, but they were outside. I don't know for sure whether or not they used that Beis Medrash afterwards. Maybe they didn't.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I thought it's a klutz guy, so it had to be asked.
The Gemara is that like the walls stood like on the side, right. An angle as a cover for both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good horror. But we don't, it's not clear in that Gemara what they did with that base measure afterwards.
The whole Gemara isn't clear. I
spoke about it on Shabbos.
I just happen to be learning it. There's a Yerushalmi as well.
Okay.
The version is slightly different.
In Moed Katan, which is different.
Okay.
So, you'll figure out what happened there.
All right. I gave Shir about this Gemara on Shavuos. I hope you... internalize my message.
No.
I didn't, because I wasn't here.
Okay. We'll
have a good excuse.
You'll have to get that to the tapes.
Did you record it?
I don't know. I don't know, you know, whether I was in shoes or not, sure, so whether I could walk or not, but anyway.
I don't know. If you weren't there, I can give you the source sheet.
Okay.
It was two Gemaras. I was comparing that Gemara with a different Gemara, which I actually hadn't known until I saw it in a Sefer. It's a Gemara in Shabbos that says that after Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe, the Satan came to Hashem and said, Hashem, you can't give Torah to like people. Where's the Torah? So Hashem said, go ask Moshe. And Satan goes to Moshe, and he asks Moshe, says, the Torah that Hashem gave you, where is it? And Moshe says, me? God would give me the Torah. Am I worthy to get the Torah? And the Satan goes back to Hashem and says to Hashem, maybe. Hashem says, so Moshe says he doesn't have it. So Hashem goes to Moshe and says, Moshe, you're lying. Like, I gave it to you. So Moshe says, no, you didn't give it to me. You gave me part, but the real, like, you really kept the Torah. Like, don't we know that God still learns Torah? Is actually, and it's related to Lo Bashamayim. Does God still learn Torah? Things like that. So we were talking about the differences between those Gemaras. What does it mean that Lo Bashamayim? What does it mean that Hashem studies Torah? We spoke about all those different things. It was very, very
exciting. I don't remember.
I know. I'm not blaming you. Just point it out. Okay. So these are the three things. So by looking at these three examples, we didn't do the next ones yet. V'in tefila, that was just the first one. V'in tefila says, Somech al tefila, so he relies on his tefila. She'atein nishmas mis'amei tzelchav in libo. He assumes it's going to be answered. So he just directs it. He's mis'amei, which sounds like a good thing, that he's like prays with intensity, which is good. But the problem is that he assumes that the answer is yes. Right? Now, it's good to daven. Not good when you know what Hashem's going to tell you. Right? It's the difference between, the mashal is very good with parents and kids. I don't know whether or not today's situation fits in well or not. But like, there are some kids who go to their parents and dictate to the parents how things should be. Right? I need this. I would say something like Hot Wheels. Avi, you know what Hot Wheels are? Hot Wheels are those trucks, the cars from the bungalow colony with the batteries. So every time we go to the bungalow colony, the kids say, I want Hot Wheels. And every time, you know what we say? No. Right? We always say no. But there are other, you know, sometimes the kids dictate to the parents. So it's fine for kids to ask parents. That's good. That's a relationship. The problem is when the kids are making the dictation, they're making the decision, right? That's what Ian's feel is. If you decide what Hashem's going to say to your tefillah, why? Because I'm such a tzaddik. Don't you know? Tzaddik goes there, Rakash Baruch Makayim. Who do you think it's talking about? It's talking about me. Tzaddik goes there. So how could Hashem say no? So when I direct my tefillah in that way, that's not okay. Because when you think of yourself as a tzaddik, that's not okay. Because Hashem said, oh, really? You're such a tzaddik? Let's take a look.
Yeah, you have such faith in God that He will do that.
That's not a faith in God. That's a faith in yourself. Faith in God is that Hashem listens.
It's hard to say that. It's something that is desirable. God may want it too. And you may say,
He might.
I can rely on God to carry it out.
You will rely on God to carry it out if He wants to.
Yeah, well, okay. That's always...
My kids think that Hot Wheels is like the best thing. Right, they think they are worthy, and they think it's educational, and you know what? It's not. It's just a huge waste of time and money, and they don't get that because they're kids. We don't get it because we're human, and when we talk to Hashem, we don't know exactly what's worthy and what's not worthy. Hot Wheels are those electric cars that the kids ride. Okay, let's see the next one. Most of them. Yes, it says Jeep on the back. Let's see the next one. Next Rashi, Moser Din. What is the next Rashi? Moser Din. Kimo yishbor Hashem beini beinecha. Right? That God will judge between us. What does that mean, God? What does that mean, God will judge between us? It means that I know that I'm going to win. Right? I know I'm worthy and you're not. So whenever... And what Rashi says, right there, Omrim klum rai hu jenesh chaveir al yado. And Hashem says, I don't think you're right. God will judge. Yeah, I'm sorry with the other guy. Right? So don't do any of these things. Meaning, we have to come in with humility. Right? What did the previous Gemara say? Also, Rabbi Yitzchak, rush b'tchilaso. You have to be a rush. You have to be an ani. Right? You have to be humble. Ha'ani mimas, without these. That's what we have to see. Vayikra Gemara, the Amar Rav Avin, as Rav Avin said, I'm going to say, Chanan, kol mos. Anybody who proclaims judgment on somebody else, he will be punished first. Shenei Amar, as the pasuk says, "Vatomer Sarai El Avram Chamasi Alecha." Right? Sarai says to Avram before this is before she has children, and Avram marries Hagar, and Sarai is very jealous, and she says, "Chamasi Alecha, I'm mad at you." Uksid. By Yavo Avram, the spoiled Sarah of the Kosa. But you know what happened? Sarai passed away first. Sarai.
Well, that's a long time between them.
It is a long time. It is true. That is true. But it is true. I don't know why this is the thing that the Medrash is connecting. Like, there was, you're right, there was 50 years in between.
Oh, at least
30, thank you. Thank you. There are at least 37. We don't know.
Well.
It was more than 37. No, it was much more.
Much more.
Why was it much more?
It was 37 plus 13.
Oh, because of Hagar. 13 years.
That's 50 years.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. It's less than. It's somewhere between 37 and 50. Somewhere between 37. I don't know why the Gemara makes that connection, but the point is that. Right. And the point, is, and especially what's interesting, is that Hashem sides with Sarai, right? Right? And the previous pasuk that we just saw is that Yishmael is thrown out. So it's very complicated. I think the what the Gemara is saying is that she thinks that Avram was wrong, and she thinks that Sarai and says Hagar and Yishmael are unworthy is true. It was the way that she said it, Hamasi Alecha, which seems like a klala. That was the problem. But I want to contrast this with a very famous Gemara. Right, he says, what does Rabbi say? Call Moshe Dinah Chaveiro, bring that Eshkila. If you say, you know, I'm calling down God's retribution right now, so you'll be punished first. But there's a parallel Gemara that says the opposite. That says what? And we know, Call Mespalo Al Chaveiro, Unenet Tchila. If you daven for somebody else, so then you're answered first. Meaning, if each of us needs something, we should Parnasa, Prius, whatever it is. So I daven for somebody else, so then you get answered first. It's the same type of thing. If you say, if I'm focusing exclusively on me, so Hashem says, you're not so worthy. If I'm focusing on other people for the good, say, oh, look at that. You can look outside himself, I'm going to look good.
Of course, if you know that in advance, that's what Scott's, how he's going to respond.
So Sam, what do you say? I mean, so that's actually a trick that people do. There's this beautiful organization, I'm sure it's not around anymore, it's from the 90s. That what they used to do is, they had a phone number, it was a hotline, you call them up, you give them your Hebrew name, and what you, like, what thing you want. Is it parnasa, is it health, is it a shidduch, all these different things. And what they would do is, they would match you with somebody else who also wants that, and you would daven for each other. And you don't know who you are, because you only have the Hebrew name. And you would daven for somebody else. I think Rabbi Pesach Krohn started this organization in the 90s. It's such a great exercise of thinking of somebody else. Dafka first. Dafka think about them
now,
first.
It's such a beautiful exercise. As long as they don't know who the people are, that works out fine.
What's that?
As long as they don't know who the people are, it works out fine.
No, really, the real way to do it is obviously
if you do know
the people. Look, whatever you need, whatever you're looking for, there's somebody else who needs it also. And they might not have all the advantages to compensate that you do. That's what it means. So a way of training yourself is this anonymous way. But that's not the right way to do it. I mean, it's a good way to do it, but it's not what it meant. They didn't have hotlines at the time of the Gemara. Right? That's what I'm trying to say. Okay.
Yeah, there's another way to do it. It's called the Chol of Shabbat.
Right?
If you, somebody is sick, and you pray for them the whole Levi Shabbat, and you have an illness, does that mean you get cured first?
It says you who nene tchila. You'll be answered first. It's not, I don't think nene means the same thing as refuah. Right?
Well, if
he's
going to be
answered, I was going
to ask him. You're right. You're right. But we all know, I mean, Hashem answers in the way that he answers.
Look, you can't.
You know the story about the girl. You know the story who wants the doll and she's down for the doll. Shouldn't he get the doll? You know the story, right?
No,
she diving for the doll. She wants a doll. And her parents couldn't afford the doll. She never got the doll. And her parents said, like, you know what happened to all those tefillos? Hashem didn't answer. He said, and she said, no, he answered. He just said no. Right? Okay. Hashem says no all the time. Right? Just like we saw before, you're in tefillah. Hashem, is that, when Hashem doesn't hear your tefillos? Of course he hears your tefillos. She said no. Right? Sometimes, often. Okay, let's see further. The next one is also very, very famous. Am Rabbi Yitzchak, this is, I think, the fifth statement of Rabbi Yitzchak. Dalet Dvar Makrin Gzar Dino Shel Adam. Four things will rip up the Gzar Din, the decision, Hashem's decision, for a person. Meaning, even if Hashem decides and seals Lira for bad on Yom Kippur, if you do these things, Hashem will change that. Eluhein, these are what they are. Tzedakah, charity. Tzaka, what's tzaka?
Crying
in tefillah. It's a specific type of tefillah, of outcry. Shinoi Hashem, v'shinoi ma'isa. Changing your name, changing the way you act. Okay, so let's go through them. Tzedakah, dichsiv, utzedakah ta'atzim imavas, right? It saves from misa. What does it mean, misa? So the Gemara's understanding it over here means gzar din la misa.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So tzedakah, very, very important. Tzaka, tfila, dichsiv, vayitaku, el Hashem, b'tzar lahem. They cry out to God when they are in strict places. The tzar means closed. Umitzoko sehem, yotzir. And Hashem brings them out, so Hashem saves them. So you see, they're already ensnared, and Hashem saves them. Shino yashem, Sorry, this is what I was talking about with you, Avi, about Sarah and Abraham. Because Avi is named after Abraham. Shino Hashem, yes, he is. Shino Hashem, change your name to Sid. Right, Abraham, what was Abraham's name before it was Abraham, do you know?
Abraham Avinu.
Before Abraham Avinu. He had a different name, a little bit different, do you remember?
No.
It was Avram. Did you learn about that?
Oh, yeah.
You remember?
Yeah.
Right, we didn't name you Abraham, we named you Abraham. Because it isn't a vera to call somebody Abram. It's a very common nickname. Okay, so this is it. As the passage says, Sarai Ishtacha, your wife Sarai, Lo Tiger Shema Sarai, that's not going to be her name, Yisara Shema, she's going to be called Sarah. We called before, we said all phone calls before. Right? So Hashem changes her name, Uchsiv, and the passage also says, Uberach Yosah, says, and I will bless her and she will give you a child. Meaning, for 89 years, this is when Sarah is 89. Well, no, this is when she is not 89, a little earlier. I think she's earlier, maybe 65. Depends how you read it. But for a long time, she couldn't have children, right? So, and Hashem says, and I will give you a child. So first Hashem changes her name. And then he says that she will have a child. So you see that changing your name is important. Shino and Maisa, changing the act, the Siv, Bayaro Kim Esmachayem, as the Pasuk says in Yonah, about Nineveh, that Hashem saw the way Nineveh acted, right? They took Priya, they fasted, and they did Tshuva, Uchsiv, and the pasuk says, "Vayinachal l'kim al rosh shir diber l'asos."
Wait a minute, what has nothing to do with it?
Lo l'asa. Seriously?
Vayinachal l'kim al rosh shir diber l'asos.
That's what the pasuk says.
That's what's lahem or lahem.
Lahem. This is a pasuk about Nimbe.
Yeah.
No, the pasuk saying that they did tshuva, and therefore Hashem decided that He's not going to destroy Nimbe. So, if you look at these four things, they were tzedakah, tzedakah, shinah hashem, and shinah maisa. If you take out shinah hashem, those three parallel what?
Tshuva,
tefillah, tzedakah, right? Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, ma'akum here, ezra, gezeira. And you understand why, right? You understand why tefillah is ma'akum here, tzedakah. What about shinah hashem?
That's a shame. It's a little mechanical that you could do that.
Right, right. Right. It seems very odd. So what does it mean? What's the relevance of shinah hashem? What do you think?
I don't know the answer, so I'm going to keep my mind.
Well, we all know the answers to say.
Huh?
We all know. But share it. You're the one who's going to get to share it. The album's close to Zakai.
It's not that name change. It's everybody is, the bunch of them, your name is, I'm trying to say it, and your future is based on your name.
Oh, you're saying very esoterical. I would have went differently. I would say, if you're choosing to change your name, right? So what are you symbolizing? You're symbolizing that you want to be different. So it really ties into the other three of Tshuva, Tefillah, Tzedakah. The Shinah Hashem, yes, it's mechanical, but it's very symbolic. The research shows that when people get a new haircut, I've gotten the same haircut probably for the last 15 years. Do you know that I wear the exact same thick pair of shoes? For like the last 5 years, I buy new ones, but I buy the exact same pair because I know I like them. I know they're comfortable. Research shows that if somebody gets a new haircut, a new hairstyle, it's symbolic that something's going on in their life. Like people don't just change their hairstyle. Sam, yeah, I assume you've got the same hair.
I wish I had the hair.
Yeah.
Right. But all right, you go to the barber and he says, "What do you want?" You're like, "I don't know, regular." That's what I always say.
I want to change my hair during the barber.
Right. What? Now I want it long.
What I'm saying, like, what you want to do is go to the barber.
Yeah.
You don't get there too often.
So the point is that when somebody makes a big change in their life, it's a reflection of something much deeper. Right. So sometimes obviously the hairstyle is just a reflection of something else. But sometimes you can do it backwards. And you say, "I want to be different." This is a very symbolic gesture. I want to be different, and the way that I'm going to show that is by changing my name. I think that's what it is. I have the zechus of changing someone's name once. And I didn't know how to do it, so I consulted with different people, and many of